goodness. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Man, what an incredible God we serve. Amen. Whew, man. Excuse me for a second. Man, I'm going to tell you what. Something incredible happened to me. April the 5th, 1987. God changed my life for all of eternity. And I'm telling you, I hadn't gotten over it yet. And I pray, God, I'd never get over it. And my heart's desire is that God's changed your life and that you never get over it. And if He's never changed your life, I pray that today would be that day. Amen? Come on now. Today would be that day. Charles Spurgeon said that praise is the rehearsal of our eternal song. We're just getting warmed up, folks. You know? Hey, I don't know what all we're going to do in heaven, but I know what we're going to do mostly, and that's what mostly we're going to praise God. Amen? I mean, in everything we say and do, we're going to praise God. And so we ought to get practiced up for it now. And so, man, I want to get practiced up. I want to be good at it. I love that song, How Great Thou Art. You know, the world was introduced to that song like back in 1957 during the Billy Graham Crusades. That's when it was really made popular. And so, man, I love that. This morning, we're going to be in Psalms 145. As you find your place there in Psalms 145, call your attention. Psalms 150 says, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. I heard someone years ago challenge us in that. Said, what if that verse, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, what if that was written in reverse? What if that verse said, everything that praises the Lord will have breath? Would you be alive? Would you be alive? Are you giving God praise with the voice that He's giving? Amen. And so this morning in Psalms 145, it is a praise song. It's the original praise song. Of all the 150 psalms that are recorded in Scripture for us, this is the only psalms that says in the title there that this is a psalm of praise, a praise of David. All the others say well, it's a psalm of David or it's a prayer of David or whatever it might be. But this is a praise of David. So look with me, if you will, in Psalms 145, beginning in verse 1. Last week we had one verse. Jeannie told me this week, she said, you know, it's amazing to me. She said, you took one verse and spoke 45 minutes on it. This week you got 21 verses. How long is it going to be? We're going to get through it, I promise you. Hang on, okay? I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. That is, that we're to praise God every day. Every day should be a day of praise. Every day should be a day of thanksgiving. And then he says in verse 4, he says, one generation shall praise your works to another. We just talked about that. From generation to generation. And shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty. And on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord. And your saints shall bless you. Now think about this. If God created you, you are part of His work. And the psalmist declares that all of His works shall praise Him. The seas praise Him. All of creation praises Him. All of the starry hosts praise Him. If we're part of His works, If you acknowledge that God created you, then you should be praising Him as well. Verse 11 says, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. Man, we can praise God from one need to the next. Amen? I mean, from one day to the next, from one generation to the next, from one need to the next, we can praise God. He says, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works. Listen to this. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. And we can praise Him from one prayer to the next. Amen. Every time we call on the Lord, that prayer ought to be filled with thanksgiving. You should never pray without giving thanks to God. I don't care how great your need is, you ought to begin the prayer by giving God thanks, right? Amen. From prayer to prayer, He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever and ever and ever. Man, I love this psalm. Listen, praising God. Listen, the chief purpose of every believer, now and in the past and in all the days ahead, throughout all of the ages, is the pursuit of the glory of God every day. Every day we should desire to experience more of the glory of God so that we can then have the ability and the capacity to praise Him more. Your praise will never exceed what you know and have experienced of God. And it might be that your praise is so small because you've never experienced the fullness of God. And that's not God's fault, that's our fault. Because we're not pursuing it. Jesus says, seek me and you will find me, right? And so if you want to know about the greatness of God, begin to pursue that and God will reveal that to you. And then you can grow in your praise. So adoring the Lord should be the constant delight of our souls, the endless desire of our hearts. In every circumstance of life, man, we magnify His name. So this psalmist points to four attributes of God that we can be thankful for. Four attributes of God that we can be thankful for this morning. So notice with me, first of all, we can praise God for His greatness. Amen? All through there, he talks about how great God is. Verse 3, great is the Lord. Listen, the greatness of God, again, we talked about this just a couple of weeks ago. The greatness of God is something that we teach our children. Even as little children, we teach them to pray. God is great. God is good, right? Have you ever thought about this? You know how myths grow? You ever hear something that's a lie, and before you know it, you pass it along, and the lie just keeps growing? You ever notice that? Man, when I was a kid in school, we heard that our principal had this big old paddle in his office. Y'all heard that rumor? Yeah, yes. And then listen, and then later I found out, you know what I found out later? Somebody else told me later, that paddle, it had nails in it. Yeah. And then later on, I found out that those nails, they had wires hooked to them that he would plug it in the wall. And so when he would hit you with that thing, those nails would go in and shock you. That's what the myth was on the playground. What started out as the principal having a paddle grew to something that was just outrageous, right? Think about this morning. Why is it that the greatness of God doesn't grow? Why doesn't the greatness of God grow in our minds? You see, I think we're living in an age where we fail to realize just how great God is. I think we're living in an age where the greatness of God has diminished and the lies have increased. And we need to be a people that proclaim the greatness of God. How will the next generation know if we don't tell them? And listen, and what we tell them, it should grow in that. Listen, as we grow in our understanding of God, then our knowledge grows, then our proclamations should grow. Our testimonies should grow. And so look at the greatness of God here. He points first to the fact of the person of God. He says there in verse 3, great is the Lord. Just pretty simple, right? Doesn't matter if He ever did another single thing, He'd still be God. You realize that this morning. If God never answered another prayer, if God never performed another miracle, He'd still be God. You know why He'd still be God? Because He's just God, right? He doesn't have to do anything to prove that He's God. He's just God. And because He's God, then He's great. There's no one else to compare. And then he points to the power of God there in verse 4. He says, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty act. He speaks to the power of God, speaks to the depth of His power, speaks to the breadth of His power. Listen, God's greatness should be praised universally from one generation to the next. And as every generation experiences God's greatness for their self, then that testimony and that praise should grow from one generation to the next. We should be praising God more today than David did in his day. Because we have a greater revelation of God today than David did. We have a greater... Do you realize that you have a greater revelation of God than Paul did? We have a greater revelation. The Bible says in Hebrews, we even have a greater revelation than the angels do. Peter writes about the fact that the angels long to see and experience what you and I have seen and experienced. Salvation of God. And so listen, there's a greatness of God that we've experienced in our life, and we ought to be declaring that. Listen to what Job says. Now, Job's a guy, if you ever want to get inspiration for praise, just read about old Job, right? Right? I think about it. When you're down in the dumps and you want to start praising the Lord, what's the first thing you think about? Not Book of Psalms. We think about... No, we really don't think about Job, do we? We don't think about Job as being a book of praise, do we? But listen to what Job says. In Job 5 and verse 9, he says, who does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number? God. Man, even in his struggles, Job acknowledged the wonders of God. Job chapter 9 and verse 10 says, he does great things past finding out. Yes, wonders without numbers. You know, we sung that song a while ago, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Can I just tell you this morning, I'm a little embarrassed that oftentimes I name my complaints one by one more than I do my thanks. One by one, and my blessings one by one. I count what I don't have instead of counting what I do have. Hello? Come on now. I'm not the only sinner in this place, okay? I know y'all right there with me, right? Man, we look at what somebody else has and we don't have it, right? We look at how somebody else is being blessed and we miss out counting our blessings because we're over here counting what we don't have. Man, we need to count our blessings. Psalms 86 and verse 10 says, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. He alone is God. God's works are vast, boundless. They are such as to impress the mind in the sense of God's immensity. Just to sit, I ponder sometimes. I try to ponder sometimes. And I got just a little bitty brain. And I ponder sometimes, God, just how great God is. God, I know, I believe, God, that you stepped out from behind nothing and with nothing in your hand and nothing up your sleeve spoke everything into existence. You realize that we have scientists and explorers that are finding galaxies outside of our galaxies that they say are billions of light years away and all those kind of things. And listen. We've been here on Earth some 10,000 years or so, and we're just now discovering those things, and God spoke it all into existence. What an incredible God we serve. I think sometimes our view of God is limited to our little old finite minds. And He's an infinite God who, when He contemplates the vast universe of God, all that God has made, and surveys the starry world under all of that, can't declare God is great. I'm so thankful this morning that God is greater than I can imagine. Because if I could imagine Him, He wouldn't be much of a God. I'm thankful that He's outside of my understanding. Listen, maybe there can be no better argument to lead people to put their confidence in God than no greater reason to stand here this morning and declare God's great things than just to state that, hey, He's God. Why should I trust God? Because He's God. Why should I praise God? Because He's God. Why should I live this way? Because He's God. That's reason enough. Amen? Just because He's God. And so this morning we praise Him because of His greatness. And then we can praise Him because of God's goodness. Notice what He says there in verse 7. Then they shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. The fact that God is good means that there is absolutely no evil in Him whatsoever. His intentions and His motivations are always good. There's nothing unpleasant about Him. There's nothing evil. There's nothing dark. It's all good. He always does what is right, and the outcome of His plans are always good. You didn't hear me, did you? The outcome of His plans are always good. I'm still learning. Man, I've been in God's plan, and I've been looking, going, whoo, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out for good. But God's always faithful, and is always good. Had a lady years ago, her family was helping transition her into an assisted living care and facility there, and she was kind of limited on her mobility, and so she just told her family, she said, y'all go find a place. And so they went out and they surveyed several places, and they came back with brochures and pictures and all these kind of things to show her. And she said, y'all just figure it out. Y'all just figure it out. She said, God's got a plan, and I'm going to like it. God's got a plan, and I'm going to like it. Some of us need to chew on that today. God is always good. Always good. When God created, at the end of every day, God said, that's good. That's good. It'd do us good at the end of every day when we lay our heads on our pillows before we go to bed at night, just to lay there and go, okay, this happened today. And today has been good. Now, you can't do that outside of the Spirit of God. Amen? But to acknowledge that He is good. Listen, the Bible teaches that God's goodness extends from His nature to everything that He does. It speaks of His moral goodness there in verse 7. Remember the names of God. Yahweh, Sitkanu. The Lord is righteous. It's the fact that everything about Him is right. There's nothing gray. There's nothing dark. There's nothing shadowy. Everything about Him is right. Right. Jeremiah 23 and verse 6 says, in His days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is His name by which He shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. See, God's good because of His moral goodness, because of His merciful goodness. Notice what it says there in verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. Praise God for His mercy. Praise God for His mercy. Amen? His mercy that He pours out on us afresh and anew each day. Because we need it every day. The manifold goodness of God. Look what He says there in verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. In Psalm 65, in verse 9, it says this, you visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. It's that all of creation acknowledges the goodness of God, the manifold goodness of God. We looked at this passage a couple of weeks ago. It's to acknowledge. Listen, I've often said that the devil is good at deviling. He's the best devil there he is. He's been deviling for a long, long time. I say that often. But I want you to hear this morning. God is good. He's always good. And he's been good his whole time. And he's the only God there is. Amen? Amen? Listen, we can acknowledge old ugly devil and all that he is, but we need to acknowledge that God is God, and he's always been God, and he always will be God. Amen? Man, I love the fact that God is a good and gracious God, that God is good and that he is the best and only God there is. That speaks then to the third attribute of God, and that's God's governance. Just how God rules and how God reigns. Notice what it says there in verse 10 of our text. He says, "All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations." It speaks to the governance of God. It speaks to his kingdom. It speaks to his rule, to his reign, if you will. This glory, it speaks to the reputation, to the splendor of all of this. The meaning is this, that the reign of God will continue forever and ever and ever. You see, we have some bad theology sometimes. We're waiting for the day when Jesus will come and reign. The reality is, he's on the throne today. Amen? It's not that he's going to be on the throne one day. He is on the throne. He was on the throne. And he always will be on the throne. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he always has been, and he always will be. Listen, political parties and political powers will come and go. Some of you are old enough here today. Some of you are old enough here today. Don't show me any hands. But some of you are old enough here today to remember when you were a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. Uh-oh, I got political here for a second. And listen, political parties shift and change all the time. You better not just put all your eggs in a basket, because you'll find out that one day they'll disappoint you. But I want you to know that there's a king that never changes, and his name is Jesus. I love the old preacher, S.M. Lockridge. S.M. Lockridge preached the message, "My King, My King." And listen, it's about 7 or 8 minutes. You can look it up online. It's one of the greatest messages that you could ever preach in 5 or 6 minutes. But in that message, S.M. Lockridge said, "That's my King." He said, "You can't impeach him, and he ain't going to resign." Amen? That's our King. That's our King. He's on the throne today, and he'll never step aside. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 10, it says, "Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, 'Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted over all." Man, I praise God this morning that I walk under the authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that he's ruling and reigning in my world today. Amen? Amen. Man, so we can praise God. Man, praise God for his greatness. Praise God for his goodness. Praise God for his governance over us today. And then notice to praise God for his grace. Oh, the grace of God. The grace of God. Look what it says there, verse 14. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all who look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open their hand and satisfy the desire of every. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all of His works. Oh man, praise God this morning for His grace. Again, in my study of Thanksgiving this week, to thank God for His grace. You know, sometimes we have a way of thinking that we've outgrown the grace of God. Listen to what I'm saying here. You see, sometimes we come to a point, place in our life where we realize that we're lost and doomed and down for an eternity in hell. And we realize that the grace of God sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross for our sins. We know that Ephesians says, "For by grace we've been saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast," right? Amen. We get saved by this grace. And sometimes we get a little arrogant. And I think sometimes we get to a place in our walk with Christ where we go, "You know what, Lord? I'm pretty good now. Lord, I've grown in my righteousness and I don't need Your grace anymore because I'm doing pretty good now." Yeah, there was a day when I didn't deserve Your grace, but now I'm thinking I'm doing pretty good. Listen, friend, you will never outgrow the need of God's grace. And when we become unthankful and we not acknowledge the grace of God, man, we're stepping out on a slippery slope that sends us to ruin. He says, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works." And then He says there, he says in verse 14, He lifts those up. He says He lifts them up. Man, by His grace, He lifts up the fallen. In Psalms 94, verse 18, He says, "If I say my foot slips, Your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up." He lifts up the fallen. He feeds the hungry. He said He satisfies their thirst and gives them their food. In Genesis 1 and verse 29, and God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, and to it you shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food," and it was so. And God gives us all that we need and plenty more, amen? And He rescues the persecuted. Look what He says there in verse 19. "He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all the flesh shall bless His name forever and ever." That is that He rescues the persecuted. The Lord protects all who fear Him, but He destroys the wicked. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Man, there's been times in my life I'm like, "Lord, do you see where I'm at? Lord, do you hear what's being said? Lord, do you know what I'm going?" And the Bible says the Lord knows. He knows all my sorrows. He knows all my hurts. Hey, do you remember the time when you'd fallen and the Lord lifted you up? You remember that time? If you don't, you need to get down this morning and let the Lord remind you. Hello? You remember the time when you'd fallen and the Lord lifted you up? Amen? Hey, do you remember the time when you were hungry and God fed you? Come on. I don't know about you, but look, man, I've been there. Man, go to the grocery store, just pray, "Lord, what can I find for $1.99? Amen? Do you remember the time when you were captive and God rescued you? Hello? You remember when you were in bondage and God set you free? Amen? Come on now. Hey, listen, I've heard people criticize. Man, I'd go to the jails and I'd do Bible study over there and guys would get saved and I'd hear people criticize. Oh, that old jailhouse conversion, that don't really mean nothing. I'm telling you what, until you realize you're in bondage to sin and doomed to damn for an eternity in hell, you'll never have a jail salvation. Hello? And there's some folks sitting in the church that's never been in the jail, but you're in bondage and you've never experienced God's rescue. And this morning, God wants you to know that He's come to set the captive free. And I praise God that I've been set free in that. And the greatest work of grace is your salvation. Praise God for His grace. Amen. That line there in the song. And when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it even that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Amen. How great Thou art. Father God, this morning, God, this morning, I just come humbled in Your presence. Father, this morning, to pause. God, in the stillness and the quietness of the moment, God, that we would just take time, God, to contemplate, to acknowledge how great Thou art. What an awesome God You are. God, I ask You this morning, God, that You would help us. God, open our minds, broaden our thoughts. Expand our faith this morning, God, to truly know Your greatness. God, I pray this morning that You take away our selfishness and our self-centeredness. God, that You take away greed and envy and pride. God, this morning, that we would understand Your goodness. God, that You've never held one single thing back from us. God, that You've given us more than we could ask or even imagine. How good You are. God, this morning, in a world that seems to be out of control and in chaos and confusion, to know that You're a God of order. God, You're governing every single thing that happens. God, that You're on the throne and that You're ruling and You're reigning. And God, that we can trust You today. God, today, I pray that God, we could grow in thanksgiving for Your grace. God, that we would be more thankful for Your grace today than we were the very day we were saved by Your grace. God, that Your grace would become more and more valuable to us. And God, that we would grow more appreciative of Your grace each and every day. Father, today, You are a great God. And You alone are worthy to be praised. God, I pray this morning, God, for every single person in the sound of my voice right now, God, that this morning they would realize that this great God loves them so much that you sent your Son Jesus to die on a cross for their sins. And God, today they would just give up all that they understand about themselves to all that they understand about Christ Jesus. And God, today they would see you as the Lord and Savior of their life, this gift of eternal life. And God, that their life would be changed for all of eternity. And Father, I'll be sure to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Father, we love you. We ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. This morning we're going to have a hymn of invitation. This is your opportunity to respond. This is your opportunity to come and give God thanks for all that He is. If you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you come this morning? As we stand and as we sing, you come this morning. This isn't the end of the service. This is just a continuation of the service to worship Him and to acknowledge Him. Worship Him and give Him praise today.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back.
One
no
last
turning
verse.
Back.
One last verse. God, this morning,
my cross I'll carry.
You make that your commitment this morning.
Till I see Jesus, my cross I'll carry. Till I see Jesus, my cross I'll carry. Till I see Jesus, no turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Amen. Amen. Let me ask you to be seated this morning for just a moment. It's been a long, crazy week this week. And this is probably the least kept secret this week of any secret ever. But I know that I've had the opportunity to share with our deacons this week, had opportunity to share with our folks in our midweek services on Wednesday, and I want to just share this with you this morning for those of you who have not heard this from my lips, and I want you to hear it from me this morning as well. But Rhonda and I have really been in the midst of just praying and seeking God's will and God's direction in our life and in our ministry. It's something that we take very, very seriously, and it's a thing that we always pray and feel like if God leads one, God will lead the other. I remember early on when God was calling me into ministry and not knowing and trying to figure it all out, I'd come home, I'd tell Ron, I think God's leading us to to go to Africa. And she's like, no, he's not. And I'm like, well, how do you know? She said, because he hadn't said anything to me about it. And if he's going to lead us there, he's going to tell both of us, right? But so we've been praying and seeking. And so God's opened the door for us. And we feel like that we need to be obedient to God and follow that call. And so God's called us to a new church field to serve there. And so we shared again with our deacons, folks. The last Sunday of December, so we still have a while. The last Sunday of December will be our last Sunday here. And then we'll be moving to a new field in January. And so I want you to pray for you, pray for this church, for Trinity. We're praying for Trinity. And pray for us as we go through this transition. I'm so grateful for the time that we've had here. This is a special place. Some of you don't realize this, but Trinity is the place that I preached my very first sermon when I surrendered to preach 30 years ago. Came here, preached on a Sunday night, came back, preached revivals here. And so it's not just that we've been here 4.5 years. We've been here for a long time. We've had connections here through the years. But we're grateful for the time that we've had here. It's been special. It's been good for us, man. I feel like God has used you in our ministry to grow us and to help shape us and to love on us. Oh, my goodness, man. You have loved on us so much, and we're so thankful for that as well. Man, we've had the privilege and opportunity to see a lot of changes take place, and I know some of those changes for some of you was like taking castor oil. It wasn't good, but it was good for you. And I think God's challenged us and grown us all, and I hope and pray that we've all been more like Jesus as a result of it at the end of the day. So thankful for Jack and his ministry here, and Ashley and their family, and this is a huge piece of the puzzle here. And what an incredible job they do leading in worship. And so I know you're in good hands. I know our deacons or you're in good hands with them. And I just know that God's got good things ahead. I've heard from you. I've heard several of you over the last few weeks when we've been out trying to navigate through some of this stuff. I've had some young guys come in and preach. And I mean, not just the young people, but some of you older people. We like that young guy. We like that young guy, you know. So I know it's that time as well. So we're just going to pray for God to open doors accordingly. And God will send his man in his time here to Trinity. And God will do a new and fresh work here as well. And so we're thankful for our time here and thankful to you. And so I just thank you so much for the opportunity that we've had over these past few years to be your pastor. And thank you so much. Jack, it's been good, man. It's been good. What are we going to sing this morning?
We're going to sing Thank You, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hey, that's what we ought to sing.
That's this right.
Morning. Thank you, Lord. It's Amen. All about Him. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Hey, let's stand this morning. Let's sing as we're dismissed today.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free.